Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Chris, welcome. Great to have you with us.
What's up, Steve? It's possible the Pirates will have another winning season by then, but I don't know how probable.
Look, we're trying to avoid drug testing on the show, Chris. Don't say such outrageous things, okay? Hey, it's outrageous. It was interesting because I was talking to my class today, and I was discussing the baseball contract. I said, you know, we talk about tanking. I said, I'm not saying these teams tanked. I said, but for example, I said, the Jacksonville Jaguars end up with Trevor Lawrence. All right. Now, at one point, obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers ended up with LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I said, Pirates have Henry Davis. I said, I want more of an instant return for my first overall pick. Why on God's green earth does a baseball team tank? Why?
Because they don't want to cut into the profits. It's that simple. I mean, I don't think we're breaking any news to people, but the Pirates and the Marlins and the Royals and the A's of the world. Now the Rays have somehow figured out a way to actually win ball games while they keep the budget on a shoestring. But those teams, they don't want to eat into their profits, so they give us the old tired trope of how, well, you know, it's an unfair, unlevel playing field. And you know what? To an extent, it probably is. But, you know, it's much easier for them to lean on that excuse and try to pit the fans against those mean, nasty players who really are just looking for what amounts to a cost of living increase on the last CBA. Mm-hmm. and blame them for everything. And that's where we're at. This, unfortunately... You know, I remember talking to Jamison Tyone back in 2020 when it was fairly contentious between the league and the players on how they were going to structure that season midst pandemic. And I remember talking to Jamison, and he said to me, you know, if you think this is bad, just wait till the CBA is up.
Right.
The players, the owners, the agents, the league, everybody knew exactly what was coming down the line. And they all just chose to sort of whistle past the graveyard and wait for it to jump up and bite them on the rear end. And then when it did, they didn't exactly seem to have any sense of urgency about moving forward. You know, the owner spent 40-plus days after the lockout began not sending any substantive proposals the player's way. And then once they did initially try to get into some meager negotiations, immediately requested the federal mediator twice.
Yeah.
The Players Association has said, thanks, but no thanks. We'd like to actually get a meaningful offer before we do something crazy like that. I do understand those that are frustrated with the players to an extent, because, to be honest, there is some truth in the fact that it is an unlevel playing field. And part of that is because the players they'd like to raise the luxury tax threshold even higher. And that's going to, I guess, de-level the playing field, if I can make up words.
So far, so good. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I've got more.
What's next? Strategery?
So the strategery from the owners here, Steve, is actually working quite well. I think it's a waiting game now. I think, unfortunately, we're going to miss a pretty significant number of games. Because the owners, I think the owners think they can outlast the players. I think the players know that once the impact of no games being played starts to hit the owners' pocketbooks, that they will probably actually sit down for some good faith bargaining and negotiation. But mm-hmm. we could be 2 months away from that, to be quite honest. If they don't have some sort of major breakthrough in the next week, I think we're talking about like a Memorial Day start.
So let me throw this theory by you. Let's have a little fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
What is the least profitable month of the season for the owners?
I would guess it's probably April, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So what's the incentive for them to play? There's no incentive.
Oh, yeah.
There's no incentive for the owners to play. They're going to take the least profitable month, and they're going to flush it.
Yeah, and it gives them an excuse to not pay the players their full salaries. which is what this whole thing has been from the very beginning, which is exactly, and the players know that. Everyone knows that. That's why the players have very rightfully accused the owners of not bargaining in good faith. So, you know, until everybody sees the other side for what it's worth and actually actually comes to the table with, like I said, I've used the term good faith probably a handful of times already, but until that exists between these two sides, I don't think they're going to go much of anywhere.
No.
And you know, I don't think they'll let an entire season fall by the wayside, but I certainly think this thing could end up getting whittled down to, you know, 100, 110 games. And like I said, maybe not starting until Memorial Day, because that's when the financial impact, to your point, will actually really start to hit the owner's pocketbook.
That's when school's out and things like that.
Right.
So let's get to something that's probably more fun to talk about. The hiring of Brian Flores by the Steelers. If there was any organization that could sit there and they could comfortably hire Brian Flores and could care less about any outside interest, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. You and I both know he's a quality coach. What kind of add is he to Mike Tomlin's staff?
I think it's invaluable, because the one thing
I'm with you.
we've had a problem here in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin's with his willingness to embrace new ideas and maybe divergent ideas within his coaching staff. You look at guys like Keith Butler, who just retired. You look at guys like Randy Fiechner, who was pushed out the door a year ago. Those are guys that Mike Tomlin's known for decades. You know, they didn't necessarily coach together for decades, but they came together at one point, all of them, and you know, they knew each other going back a long way. Fiechner and Butler and some of the other guys on the staff, they're not the kind that are going to stand up in a defensive meeting room during a particularly difficult week of game planning on a Monday night, late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, and say, "Coach, I don't think that's going to work." Brian Flores has the guts to do that. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores is no wallflower, as we've seen over the last few weeks. He's willing to take on the entire National Football League. And some of the interviews I've seen, you know, I saw the one he did down in Florida, the I Am Athlete podcast with Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel and Brandon Marshall and Chad Johnson. I thought it was pretty insightful, because when he was called to task by Omar for, you know, not tanking and it cost them the first overall pick and cost them Joe Burrow, Brian Flores looked Omar dead in the eye and said, "I'm fine with that." You know, the man wants to win football games,
right,
and doesn't care who he ticks off to do so. So if there's a late Monday night, early Tuesday morning game plan meeting when they're crunching film trying to figure out how they're going to slow down Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and Brian Flores is not excited by the idea that maybe Mike Tomlin or Terrell Austin are laying out, he's not going to have a problem standing up and saying, no, I don't think that's going to work. I think we've got to try this. And that's really what the Steelers have needed for a long time. Now, on both sides of the ball is an infusion of new ideas. We didn't see as many as I thought we'd get on the other side of the ball from Matt Canada this year. It was disappointing, gravely disappointing. But I would expect some different wrinkles on the defensive side of the ball that would help. You know, you can't have the defensive player of the year and one of the handful of best interior D linemen on the same defense and still end up 32nd in the league against the run, and I think 22nd overall.
Here's another aspect to this. Mike Tomlin, of course, has been entrenched as a head coach for a long time. What do you think it means to have another guy on the staff now that has been a head coach and has sat in that chair, has been in that office, has had to make the decisions that Mike has to make? What do you think that means to him in terms of his ability maybe to bounce some ideas off somebody else?
I think it's big. You know, he's had that before, but it was always on the other side of the ball.
Right. It was Mike Munchak, you know,
guys
like that. Munchak
and Haley. And, you know, I think having that, it comes back to what I think will be a very interesting dynamic between Flores, Austin, and Tomlin, and how much those guys are all willing to challenge each other. You know, and so if they're all willing to challenge each other, but in a good way, in a constructive way, again, I think that's invaluable. I mean, you're talking about a guy who gave the Dolphins their first back-to-back winning seasons in nearly a quarter century. So Brian Flores knows what he's doing. I think it's an absolute home run, and I'll just be curious to see how long he lasts here, because I can't imagine if he has even a half-decent year here in Pittsburgh, I can't imagine there aren't going to be teams that come knocking on his door for, at the very least, the defensive coordinator position, if not a chance to jump back into the head coaching ranks.
All right. Now, the quarterback situation, the guy, the best guy available at the moment is Mason Rudolph. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and you and I both know the fan base doesn't accept that. I got it. Is the fan base willing? Do you think the fan base is excited to get a new face in town, like a drafted quarterback? I'm not saying there's a quarterback out there they should draft, because I don't think there's a first-round pick in the draft at quarterback. No. There will be first-round quarterbacks picked, but they aren't first-round talents to me.
Right.
Big difference. Do you think the fan base is ready for something like that? I think they are.
I think what the fan base wants doesn't necessarily jive with what
it never does.
The last 18 years. Yeah. You know, the experience over the last 18 years has spoiled the fan base, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. It spoiled the fan base to the point where anything short of a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and that's even granted that Ben Roethlisberger didn't really look like a Hall of Fame quarterback the last 20 games of his career or so. Anything short of that is just, there's going to be complaints. I think there, and that's not the entire fan base, but there's certainly a loud enough, vocal enough contingent that will feel that way. I think the most realistic fans understand that those quarterbacks don't grow on trees and that there isn't one available in this year's draft. And there's probably not one available in any other method, to be quite honest, either, because Aaron Rodgers is not leaving Green Bay. As much as Russell Wilson wants to change his Twitter avatar, he's not leaving Seattle, most likely. And if he does, he's not coming to Pittsburgh. I think most people understand that reality is, get yourself a quarterback who can do just enough to not lose you games. Rely on your defense, which should be better given the top-end talent that it has available to it and the assistant coaches that you've now put in place. And lean on your running back and your tight end, Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. And that should be enough that you're a wild card team. Is that going to be enough to keep you in Super Bowl contention year after year? No, probably not. We're probably looking at a team that's very similar to, you know, resembles the Tommy Maddox teams that existed before Roethlisberger came along. You know, it was a fight to get to the wild card. They'd get there, maybe they'd fight for a division and compete, but they were never Super Bowl favorites. Until that next quarterback comes along, we've got to face the fact in Pittsburgh that it is a quarterback-driven league, and that quarterback is not immediately close to coming to Pittsburgh. So you can scratch and fight and claw for a playoff berth and hope that that's enough and that maybe you catch lightning in a bottle in getting to those playoffs, that maybe something crazy happens. That's the realistic side of the fan base. The very vocal minority, I think, of the fan base, part of the fan base, is expecting a Hall of Famer to just fall out of the sky or thinks way too much of Kenny Pickett. Nothing against Kenny Pickett. I think he'll be a solid starter in the NFL.
He's fine.
But, you know, they think too much of Kenny Pickett because they saw him at Pitt this year, or they think Malik Willis can be the next Lamar Jackson, which, you know, to your point, there isn't a first-rounder in this bunch. Two or three will probably get drafted in the first round, but if I'm the Steelers, I'm more focused on rebuilding that offensive line.
Entire answer, you never once mentioned Mason Rudolph.
I mean,
it's just so, you know, so disappointing.
He is that guy. He's that game manager guy. Look, I'm one of the people in this town that actually likes Mason Rudolph somewhat as compared to a lot of the fan base. I think he can be good enough. I think he can be Tommy Maddox.
But he needs an offensive line, though. I would lean that way with my first pick, but that's only me.
No, I'm absolutely with you. Unless the elite offensive linemen that you really like are all
gone
off the board by then.
Yeah.
And then you can look maybe D-line or corner or even inside linebacker. But I think most of us agree that, especially after, and I have no problem with going with Najee Harris. I love Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But especially after you passed on offensive line in the first round last year, you've got to make that pick this year.
I mean, look, you could be looking for a corner and end up with Artie Burns. You just don't know. All right.
It's unfortunately a bad Steelers habit. The Artie Burnses and Senquez Golsons have littered their roster.
I feel like I gave you the shakes on that last one. All right. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you, Chris, very much.
Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk again soon.